Welcome to Living Word Bible Church Audio Sermons. Living Word Bible Church is an independent Bible-believing fellowship located in Liverpool, United Kingdom. Our mission is to preach and teach Christ and Him crucified, and to glory in Him alone. Please visit us at www.lwbc.co.uk for more information, Bible studies, audio sermons and a host of other Bible-based resources. We pray that the following audio sermon will both bless and encourage you.
The title of my message today is The Easy Way. At first, that sounds like I'm going to talk about how easy it is to go away from the Lord, to do opposite to what the Lord wants. And in some respects, that would be the easy way. The easy way is to backslide instead of living for the Lord. But the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. Everything he says and thinks and does comes from the position of being a liar. And one of his lies to Christians is that it's too hard to do right. It's too hard to live for the Lord. It's too hard to be a Christian, especially in the generation we live in. But I suspect that's exactly what the devil has been saying to Christians ever since the foundation of the church. People are very easily influenced by sin, be it their own sin or the sin of those around about them. Falling into temptation is easy for the ungodly. Now, when I say ungodly, I'm including Christians who refuse to live according to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the devil's way is not the easy way. It's the hard way. It's completely the reverse of what the devil is saying. So whenever the devil says something, the opposite is going to be true because he's a liar. There's no truth in him. I've often said this, especially over the last year, the previous year. If the media tells you something, then believe the opposite. Because we live in a fallen world that is full of lies and deceit and error and fake news and so on. We have to know what the truth is. The truth. Truth is only in Jesus Christ. Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Jesus didn't give him the answer, but he gave us the answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So what I'm going to say today is that the devil's way is hard, God's way is easy. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's the hard way. God's way is the easy way. Again, let me quote John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the truth. It's the way, the easy way, the simplest way is through Jesus. It's hard because we want to keep our sin and follow the world. That's what makes it difficult. Walking up a hill full of burdens is hard. You may not make it because of the weight of the burden. The more you have to carry back from the supermarket makes your journey home more difficult. If you've got no baggage, if you've got no weights, if you've got no burdens, then the walk back will be easy. I want to analyze what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. First of all, let me look at verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the very first word here is come. So simple, and therefore possible. If someone tells you to come to their house, there's no burden involved. It's not hard, it's easy. You go to the person's house. You go to the person. It's not impossible, it's very much possible. But when we begin to think, well, what's that person up to? What are they hiding? What have they got in store for me? Is it something bad? Then things become cloudy, and then things become burdensome, and then it becomes hard. When something is hard, it's less possible. When something is difficult, it's less possible to achieve. It's not to say that it's not possible to achieve it at the end result, but what I'm saying to you is that as soon as you put problems in the way of something that is simple and easy, that simple and easy thing becomes hard to do. And we know there are people in this world make our lives difficult, make our lives hard. So the invitation is from God himself. Jesus says, come unto me, come. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, so let me go back in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. In one respect, that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 11:23. So he says, incline your ear. And that's really a simple thing to do, isn't it? To turn your ear to the person who's talking to you. Not hard at all. Come unto me. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me. In Isaiah 55:3, come unto me. Simple. He says, hear. It's, you know, you don't have to have any difficulty in hearing unless you've lost your hearing. And I think a lot of Christians have lost their hearing when it comes to the voice of the Holy Spirit. They no longer hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in this day. And no wonder Jesus had to say in Revelation, if you have ears to hear, then listen. And he says, your soul shall live. You know, I really do believe that in part, Jesus was quoting from this passage. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your soul shall live. Notice what he said, come unto me. So it's to Jesus we go, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. We go to him, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We go to him and nobody else. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Not men, not people who've departed this life, but Jesus. And then there's that little tiny word, come unto me, all ye, or all. That's an all-inclusive invitation. Nobody is rejected by the Lord. Nobody is segregated. Nobody is kept away. He says all. Every single person in this life is labours and are heavy laden with sin and with lots of other things. But he says all. All who are burdened down with sin. All labouring to earn the eternal life by good works. All people, rich and poor, small and great, no matter who they are, doesn't matter what nation they come from, what religion they belong to, what political faction they follow, it's got nothing to do with anything about this world. It's all to do with Jesus. Come unto me, all ye. So that's everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever, that's the all in Matthew 11:28. But let me emphasize the point again. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So the all must come unto Jesus. Come unto me, all ye. So the all in, which means everybody in this world, man, woman, child, no matter what it is, to be saved, they've got to come to Jesus. Not Mary, not the saints, not anybody else, but Jesus only. Jesus is the one who announces this invitation. We're not told to come to church to be saved. It's foolishness to invite people to church to listen to the preacher so that they could get saved. Listen, you don't know what the preacher's going to be talking about next Sunday. And he could be so off the wall that what he says could be wrong. It may not touch the heart of that person. So how can you invite them to church to hear a preacher, a pastor preach, not knowing what that person's going to talk about on that particular occasion? You're the person on the spot. You bring them to the Lord, not somebody else. Don't make it so that somebody else has to lead them to the Lord. You bring them to the Lord. So it's, to me, people have to come to Jesus. You just show them the way to Jesus. No human leader can do that. Yes, the pastor or the preacher may say just the right thing on that day, but that is not the point here. We must not direct people to church, to a preacher, to a set of videos, to an audio message or a book. We point them to Jesus. He says, come unto me. He didn't say go unto a church or go unto a book or go unto a video, but go to come unto me. Not follow a religious ritual. Well, you've got to do this. You've got to get on your knees. You've got to say the sinner's prayer. We don't do that. We shouldn't tell people to do that. We point them to Jesus and we tell them, go and have a talk with Jesus. I mean, this simple invitation, come unto me. There's nothing there to even indicate to us that people have to do anything else but to come. We're told to come to Jesus. In John 6 and verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So he is the only one who's got the words of eternal life. As it tells us in Isaiah, your soul shall live. Your soul shall live. You realize what he's saying there? Maybe you missed the interpretation, the context of that verse. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. What's being offered there? But eternal life. Your soul, which people think they've got a living soul, shall live. If the soul is going to live, then it must have been dead beforehand, separated from God. So what is said in John 6 and verse 68, Lord, where else can we go to? Where can we go to? To the pastor, to the religious leader, to the rabbi, to the synagogue, to the temple, to the church? Where do we go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Come unto me and you shall have rest for your soul. Come unto me and your soul shall live. Which brings us to the next point of this passage spoken of Jesus, his promise. I will give you rest. It's not only an invitation, but it's a guarantee. There is a prize in coming to Jesus. Simply come and take from his hand. Simply come and stand and sit in his presence. I will give you rest. You shall find rest for your souls. You shall, and I will give you rest, he said. I will give you rest. So why can't we believe that your soul shall live? In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, speaking of Salvation is accomplished in Jesus alone. It is the Saviour's effort, especially when we take on board the cross itself. That is the only place. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So people have to come to him, not as a Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount, not a humanitarian Jesus, not a religious Jesus, but a crucified Lord on the cross of Calvary. That's where we have to point people to. The reward is not of any man or anything in this world. The reward is all of grace and mercy. So in Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If people are heavy burdened, as Jesus said, that if they labour and are heavy laden, if they've got no peace, then perfect peace will come unto them if they keep their mind on Jesus, if they keep trusting in him. So it's Jesus only here. In Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do you see the way the promise is repeated? We'll come back to it in a moment. I will give you rest. You shall find rest unto your souls. So let's go back. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus making it difficult. I've got to take a yoke on me. No, think about this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's going to take the yoke off us. Yes, there's a yoke that's going to go on us, but bear with me. This speaks of submission. No animal at the first, especially cattle and so on, likes to have that yoke put on them and then pulling a very heavy plough. They don't like that. They struggle against it. But then they submit to it. Once they submit to it, it's easy going. Life is peaceful. Think about the horse. You've seen those things in Western movies, I suppose, where somebody gets on the horse and it bucks and it jumps and eventually throws the person off. And after several times, the horse submits and just takes it as normal. And everything is peaceful. It doesn't like the saddle and it doesn't like the man upon his back. So submission is that's very important. We have to lay down our lives to take up the cross and follow him. That is true. Is that something that we have to do before we come to Christ? No, that is coming to Christ. That is coming to Christ. It being referred to here is we must lay down dependency upon our own life. We've got to give up our idea that we have self-ability to do it our own way, or that we can bring something to the Lord that he would be so amazed that he says, well, you know what, you're really doing great here, but you won't do that. We have to lay it all down. What Jesus is saying here is, he said, take my yoke upon you. See, some people go around and say, well, I've got a cross to bear, referring usually to sickness or some hardship. I've got my yoke that I'm carrying around. But hang on a moment. It doesn't say, take your yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's something that Jesus is bearing. It's something that Jesus, only Jesus can do. So in this sense, the word yoke means partnership. It's a partnership. We're agreeing with Jesus. We're working with Jesus. We're doing it Jesus's way. We are laborers together with God. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, we are laborers together with God. When we work with God in partnership, being joint heirs with Christ, with God, then things work right. When we buck and we struggle and we do our own way, it's hard. That way is hard. Because we're never going to achieve anything. We're never going to be blessed with rest for our souls. We're never going to have that peace which passes all understanding. So when we come and take this yoke upon us, he says, and learn of me. We can't do it our own way. We must first accept the yoke that Jesus has given us. Think about that. It's Jesus' yoke. If you and Christ are under the same yoke, and guess who's the strongest here? It's his yoke. Guess who's the one who's mastered the yoke? Jesus. Guess who's the one that was submitted, that submitted himself to the punishment of the cross? Jesus. With the joy set before him, he went to the cross. Jesus. Jesus has done it all. All he asks is that you come under the yoke. You agree with him. You go his way. And then he says, learn of me. Stop trying to learn for yourself. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to find other means of gaining peace for your soul that rather than in Jesus. There are so many books and tapes and audios and whatever else there is out there talking about how you can be peaceful. The world has got all that, self-motivation books and programs. We don't need it. We've got Jesus. We don't need to copy the world with this. We don't learn from anybody else. We learn from Jesus. The second we come to Jesus, we learn of him. We begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. See, I think so often is the case, we think that we can reverse God's priorities. He says, come unto me. He says, you'll learn of me if you take my yoke upon you. We want to reverse God's priorities. We want to do our own way. We want to put the six part at first and change it all round so it suits our own sensibilities, our own ideas. We think we have enough in us to serve him, but that's religion. Religious people always think that what they do is enough to please God. We can't go that way. He wants us to serve him, and then we must learn from him. So basically, we got our directions and our instruction, our motivation from Jesus only. He supplies all of our needs. God's method in training us for the kingdom, in training us for being useful for him in all aspects of life, God's method is on-the-job training. It's not an apprenticeship as such, but day by day, moment by moment, year by year, we are learning from the Lord. We don't get all the information at one time, because as a Christian, you know that over the years you've given up more for the Lord, as you come to realize that they were not under the blood. Those things you were doing and saying and behaving were not under the blood, and you brought them to submission in Christ. All of those things, the weights and the heavy burdens, are brought under the blood, the cross of Christ. But God works with us on the job. He's working in us, and we are working it out in our everyday life. In Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, then when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. When we learn his righteous judgments, our lives will start to live. We will be able to live the way we should. It doesn't come all at once. But as we learn from God's word, then our lives start to get in line with what God's word and God's spirit is actually saying. And then Jesus closes by saying this in Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you remember what he said right at the beginning? Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden. So this is the burden. He says next in the next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And in both instances, he says, I will give you rest. You shall find rest for your souls. And here he says, just my yoke. So the yoke he's speaking of earlier is light. Not light as illumination, but it's light. It's not heavy. It's the very opposite to heavy laden. So instead of the burden, the yoke is easy. It's not hard. The burden that he gives you, yeah, there's a burden, but it's light. It's not anything like the burden we bear with not knowing the Lord. The burden that drags us down. This burden is easy because the Lord is in the yoke with us. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is easy not to drink. It's easier not to drink than to become a drunkard. That might sound strange, but with the other things I'm going to say, you begin to understand what I'm referring to. A person can just say, no, I'm not drinking alcohol. But the person who drinks alcohol, take for instance, have you seen people, maybe in films or whatever, when they take the first swig of some alcohol that they've never tasted before, there's a grimace. It burns their necks, their throats, and down into the chest and into the stomach. You know, it's not nice. You can see it's not nice. But people do this all the time, so it's easier not to drink than to become a drunkard. It takes time to become a drunkard, and life becomes progressively worse because of intoxication, because of the effect of that alcohol on the brain and the body's system. It's easier not to smoke than to die of lung cancer. Do you see where I'm getting at now? Isn't it not better to say, no, I'm not going to smoke, than to spend the last of your days coughing and spluttering and then realizing you've got cancer that you're going to die of very, very soon? It's easier to stay pure than to be judged. If you live for the Lord the way the Lord wants us to live, then we'll not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. It's easier to read the Bible than to go without strength. Why don't Christians read the Bible today? And I know Christians are not reading the Bible because they come out with such foolish, foolish things and theories, be they conspiracy theories or anything else. They're not reading the Bible. Keep reading that Bible. Keep reading what the word of the Lord says, and then you'll have strength. It is strength to our lives. It's easier to pray than to live without God's blessing. We're so quick to lift the telephone and talk to somebody else about our problems. Why can't we go to Jesus? It's much easier. It's easier to reject the world than to be damaged by it. And just look around. We live in an age where people are wrecks because of this world. We've got so much and we're blessed with so much. And yet look at the world today. People are wrecked. People who should know better, people who should have reasoning, should reason things out. They're so weak. Even students, as you've probably heard, I've got to have a safe place in university in case somebody upsets them. I mean, this is the world we're living in today, where snowflakes melt so quickly. Everybody's got to have a medal for taking part. Everybody's a winner. Nobody loses. But then they get so offended when somebody else goes first before them. Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. The right way is the easy way. The wrong way is the hard way. In Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The right way is the easy way, because it's Jesus' way. He makes it easy for us to live for him. No, not floating to heaven on petals and clouds. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a life that is free from tribulation, but with it all, when we are in partnership with the Lord, he makes it easy for us to be his people. In Proverbs 13, verse 15, the way of the transgressors is hard. The way of the transgressors is hard. You see, there is a hard way, isn't there? But the hard way is the way of the transgressor. The Christian life is not a life of no yoke. It's not a life of no burden. But what I'm saying to you, as Jesus said, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. It's altogether different from that offered to us by the world. The world is under a yoke. It's in partnership with Satan. And his yoke is hard. The burden that the devil puts upon people today, the chains of sin, it's heavy. It's a life of an easy yoke, the Christian life is. An easy yoke. Don't let that word easy make it sound as though it's neither here nor there, that anybody can do it. No, not anybody can do it. They've got to come to Jesus first, and then anyone can do it. No one in this world, be they atheist, humanist, or religionist, they cannot live the Christian life. It's too hard for them. They cannot live the Christian life. That's why religious people find it hard to serve the Lord, and they work hard at trying to please God. So the Christian life is not a life of no burdens. It's a life of light burdens. Because Jesus is in it with us. He said, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the ages, the end of the world. He's there, lifting us up when we fall, strengthening us when we're weak. Jesus, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. So why can't we believe that Jesus will do that for us? That the weak knees will be strong, the weak hands will be strengthened. There is no better teacher than Jesus, and he teaches us through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So no matter what the trials are, no matter what the tribulations are, no matter what the trouble may be, we can rejoice that our burden is made light in Jesus. He sustains us. He strengthens us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're weak, he is strong. So why can't we believe that? And it's all, you know, coming to Jesus. We can rejoice in him. Our yoke is easy. Our burden is light. But that would not be true. You would object to that if you're living in the world. If you want your sin, then living for the Lord is going to be hard. If you want to follow the world, then your burden is going to be heavy. Simply that. As soon as you say the Christian life is not possible, it's too hard to live the Christian life, it's not anything to do with Jesus, it's all together with you as a person. Because he has promised in the text that we've been reading today, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Please don't call Jesus a liar. He's made it as easy and as light as possible for us. because he's the one working in us and through us and with us. Let's just believe the Lord here. Let's not try and make the Christian life hard. Let's not try to portray an idea that Christianity is difficult. It's not difficult as soon as you come to Jesus. The notes for this message can be found on our website. You just need to navigate to 2021 and drop down to, well, on this occasion, it will be the first message of the year.
Before the hymn begins, we would like to say thanks for listening to this audio sermon. For more audio sermons, Bible studies and other scriptural material, please visit www.lwbc.co.uk.
Gentle.